Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, here on this fabulous Friday, by the way, Fab Fridays, it's Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going? The most fabulous Good. Friday of them all. It's Ronnie.
Yeah, it's a pretty fabulous Friday. No complaints from me.
Good. Yet. We haven't started recapping, just, you know, so give it a few minutes.
Well, that doesn't count. In real life, no complaints.
Okay, that's great, except for that coyote. I'm just going to remind you of all the things you have to complain about. Yes! You had a bobcat last night, right?
Yeah, but the bobcat doesn't bug me because it hasn't attacked mules, you know? But those coyotes, it's now a family of five coyotes back there.
But that bobcat
still trucking over here.
Bobcat better get to work, okay?
Hell yeah, bobcat.
My new theory is that there's a warren of rabbits under your house now, and so it's attracting all the coyotes. And then the coyotes are attracting a bobcat, and next, a bear.
Oh, that, you know what? At this point, I've calmed down a little bit. I'm just out there with them every day. It's a little coyote vest, some mace, it's a noisemaker. It's mm-hmm. great. I'm just used to it now. You know wildlife. What are you going to do? They're all very cute animals.
Yeah, I know. Thank God they're cute. You know what else is cute? Us, because we're going to be doing Amazon Live on Monday at, 1:30 West Coast, 4:30 East Coast. So come join us there. We like to talk about the cool things we found. And other than that, we got our patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You guys know the drill: video, newsletter, ad free listening, all the good stuff. Bonus episode. We broke down the Roni trailer this week. So that was really fun. It is time to talk about episode 4. We're already at 4 episodes into season 20. It's a little bit of a slow start for this milestone season. This is the week where everyone is starting to basically grumble on the internet and say, what's going on with Orange County? Like, is this really the crown jewel season? 20 seasons in and this is what we've got? To which I say, why are you surprised? The moment they said that Emily and Gina would be back, I was like, it's going to be a dud. And honestly, I was excited for Vicky, you know, in the sense that I love a nostalgia play. But in all reality, Vicky's last few seasons on the show, she was not very interesting. So, you know, the odds are stacked against it.
Problematic.
And there's that. However, I actually have grown, you know, I love Orange County. And I'm still entertained by it, but I have to agree, this season is plodding along, and I'm hoping that it comes to life a la Beverly Hills did last season. What do you think?
Well, I have to say, you know, as much as we grumble about Emily and Gina, Emily made me laugh the most in this episode when they were doing the box game. When they did the box game.
Really?
It's like, Tamara didn't even try to disguise what she was trying to say to Heather. Oh, Gina, I mean, yeah. Just write down, like, fuck you, Heather.
I cracked up at that.
That was funny.
And then I laughed at myself for laughing at Gina. It's like, whoa, how often does that happen? Things are...
I just, you know, when all else fails, I just find things about Heather to laugh about. And it was during this box game. At one point, Jen said something that annoyed Heather so much. And she did this thing where she jutted out her lower jaw, which is another one of her tics. When she's really mad, she's like, I am going to show you more of my jaw than you thought you could see. She juts it out and she goes like this. She just does a slow, like, turn. It's like she's possessed by Zool. But
she like stick I love it that. Out and like she's going to stab you with her little jaw.
And this was a really good episode for
my turn. Yeah. I'm speaking. Still my turn.
Still me. She didn't actually say still me, and I was so mad. But we start off at Gina's house, and this is the funniest thing that to me of this hour was I was watching with Dominique, my partner. So he comes in and out of watching these shows with me. And he was like on his phone and he looks up at this opening scene and we arrive at Gina's house and he goes, wait, and he was not being shady. He's like, wait, where do they ever show where they live? And I'm like, they'll say where they live. They don't actually put up their locations. Like they don't put the towns. He goes, oh, cause I thought this show was like about opulence. And I burst out laughing that like he had this this reaction to Gina's house. He was like, wait, did they change the fundamental premise of what this entire franchise is about? I'm like, no, it's just so, Gina.
This is poor people now. Yeah, they got into a meeting at Bravo and were like, we want the opening of Les Mis. But it's Housewives.
Yeah, Gina's, you know, Gina has a very nice, respectable home. You know, it's a nice home. At, you know, she's about 3 feet from her next home over. It's definitely maybe not as luxe as some of the other cast members on anywhere on Bravo. But look, it's a little bit of a sad day when your house isn't as nice as Joe Bradley's. Let's be honest. But you know what? God bless Gina. She tries.
Yeah, beyond even poor shaming Gina at this point. I, you know, that's like the least of this show's problems, honestly. Shoulder pad shaming. For sure. Like, I get that that's kind of a thing, but it's not the thing all the time in every outfit, you know? Mm-hmm. And just Gina and Emily in general. So they have a scene together where they've decided to do TikToks, and Gina's telling us, you know what? There's, like, actually money to be made on social media. Yeah. Yeah, Gina.
This is one of the saddest twists. This is
welcome.
This is one of the saddest pivots in the show. Like, we're 20 years old, so now we're going to celebrate social media.
Like, yeah, oh, so no. Gina's found TikTok, and her and Emily do, or she and Emily, I guess I should say, do wacky TikToks together. And that's like their thing now. And their very secret lives of Mormon wives, where they actually get together to like do content.
Which, yeah. It's like... Awesome. Yeah, there was something about watching Gina lay out those outfits for TikTok and then her being like, there's this thing called social media where there's like a lot of money on it. I was like, I'm just cringing on the inside. I'm not disagreeing that there's a lot of money. I'm just saying I'm cringing. I'm really cringing.
Yeah.
By the way, I am sorry. My everything I have is on Do Not Disturb, and yet somehow my system still finds a way to ding. So if you're hearing dings, I'm working on it. I don't. Of course, I get a million text messages as soon as we start recording, but leave it to Apple to always make sure that when you say Do Not Disturb and silence, that it's still like, well, are you sure you don't want to hear this text sound though? Because this is a fun one. So I'm sorry, everyone, if you can hear that.
Well, I hope you know that your phone is it's an avenue that you can make some money. You know, people say find something that you're passionate about and you never feel like you're going to work. Well, I'm really passionate about making me and my friend look stupid on the internet.
Well, that's nice. It's nice to see you guys branch out from just looking stupid on TV.
Yeah, seriously. I hope this really helps your one-bedroom condo real estate career. I'm like so mad at Gina this week. I don't know why she didn't do anything, but I'm just like gonna take every shot at her possible. I think it's like it's Friday and I just have no fucks left to give. This is the part of the season also where I get irrationally mad that Gina is still on this show, and then I take pot shots at her, and then I feel mad because she seems like by all accounts a generally nice person. And I feel bad. But anyway.
But she also seems to keep changing her accent, which is super weird. Like, did you notice that today she keeps saying like, oh my God, so she gave you a big? I think she's like exaggerating sometimes on purpose. Because is that even like Long Island? Is that a big?
Well, it's like she stopped off in Minnesota for a second. She's like, yes. I want my accents on a layover in Minnesota because I couldn't book direct from Long Island. I couldn't book direct from Islip to John Laney Airport.
I picked it up at the airport. You know what? Airplanes, it's like an avenue for income.
You know what's also an avenue for income? Avenues. I want to like build more avenues.
I see pantyhose. That makes me nervous.
Oh, it should make you nervous because Shannon's stopping by too. And I was looking at ones we can do with Shannon. And it's going to be great. Okay. I got you a birthday gift.
She's like, we don't get each other birthday gifts.
But it's just like a bestie gift. Oh, you should open your bestie gift.
And guess what? It's a big black sweatshirt. And it's so big because you can put two people in it. You can both get into the sweatshirt because there's two heads. And in fact, For those who want further instruction, Gina says,
"It's a hoodie, but there's two heads, for me and for you."
And she's like, "Oh my God, of course there is. We're going to be so annoying." Great news, Emily. You're already there. Don't need a sweatshirt for that.
I know. When she said that, I was like, now it's a plan.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
If Heather had given that sweatshirt to Emily, Emily would have lost her mind for a year. Being like, "How dare you? She got me a sweatshirt for two. How do you think that makes me feel, Heather?"
That was my thought too.
It's the only kind they make.
Ding dong. "Hello, Drake. I am your neighbor, Television's Heather Dubrow. I have a sweatshirt for two. Would you like to join me in the other head hole? Open invitation. Anyone? Anyone want to join my head hole?" Okay, no one. Heather's looking for a head hole.
"Well, I don't want expensive gifts from her because we're not that kind of friend. You know, we're not fake friends like Carmella, who we're going to jump on for no reason for the rest of the episode.
No.
We're the kind of, I just want her time and her energy, and that's what she gives me."
So then Shannon shows up and she's like,
"Oh, well, what do you have in that bag there, Emily?"
And Emily's like, "Oh, Gina got me a very funny gift." And Gina's like,
"You know, it wasn't just the hoodie, you know, it was like also a candle that says, 'Smells like my 40s are over.' And like, I'm like a great gift giver."
So they get into their sweatshirt. The two-headed sweatshirt. And Shannon's like,
"Oh, look at that. Two people bound by something, much as I thought I was bound by an oath that I gave to David. But that's okay. Go walking on the beach with a slut. Who cares about things that keep you together and vital and in love?"
I just don't need a candle that says "smells like your 40s are over." I already have my body.
I literally don't need a candle that says anything. Like, if it's got a sentence on it, I don't want it.
Yeah. A sentence. A wacky comedy candle.
Every time I light this candle, I laugh.
The only candle I will accept is one that says "with love, comma, Diane Wiest." Everything else, no go.
Don't speak. The Diane Wiest candle.
"What did everybody else get you for your birthday?"
And she's like, "Oh, Carmella got me a Dior clutch. And then, you know, like, I pulled it and I saw another box in there. It was a purple vibrator. But I had a totally great sense of humor about it. It didn't really bother me at all. I thought it was funny."
You literally called up. Didn't she literally call up Heather last week and say, "There was a vibrator"? Then I was like, "Was she trying to have a moment? Why'd you keep asking me? It's just like kind of weird." And then there was this, like, she literally called Heather and Terry had to explain it was a setup for a joke that says, "You either take the bag or go fuck yourself. Don't you see?" And she's like, Oh, yeah.
Last week she was kind of offended at the purse because she thought she was trying to impress everybody with her money. And then the vibrator was just an added. You know, I don't know if she was insulted.
Yeah.
She was more insulted than she's acting this week. This week, she's like, "Oh, look at me, fun Emily." And last week, she's like, "Could you believe this bitch got me a Dior clutch? What are you trying to prove?"
Yeah, because this week, she's passing it off to Gina to be the one who's going to be mad about it. And yes, you're going to tell me Gina, that Gina doesn't already know about this?
Of course, immediately. Say it again. I'm sorry. Gina, yeah, take the
bait. A, you're correct. And B, you think that Gina didn't already know about this? Emily told Heather before she told Gina. So Gina being like, "Oh my God, what did everyone get you? Did Carmella get you something?" So Gina's like, "I mean, you show up as like a B invite and you bring like a Dior bag, and like, how much do you think that bag was?"
Probably like $3,000.
"Oh my God. I didn't know they were more than $60. Bags can get that expensive."
"Oh, way more than that. Way, way more than that." "Are we going to just pretend a $3,000 big? And a sex toy? Are we going to pretend that that's normal? That's what we're going to pretend now?"
Gina, Heather brought you a couple of years ago an entire rack of leather jackets in different sizes for you to try on.
Gina, you look like you're smuggling a novelty-sized hanger in your blazer right now. Are we going to talk about what's normal?
You look like you're imitating a subway turnstile.
You look like a yield sign.
I would iron my shirt on your back if I actually had an iron.
I'm out of triangle puns. So Gina is like, whoa, this is crazy. She's like whipping herself into a frenzy. And don't forget that she was already pre-whipped into a frenzy because last week she was really upset because Carmela had the audacity to call herself a developer. And according to Gina, who has not really looked into it or had conversations with her or put any sort of effort into understanding anything else, she's not a developer, and the and her main source of proof is Vicky Gunvalson, who's like, she's not a developer. She's there. And
not a developer.
So Gina's already like mad at this girl for saying that she's a developer.
Yeah, you know, I think these ladies just need to give Carmela a minute, because from what we see of Carmela, what we've seen of her so far, Carmela's going to be an asshole on her own. Like, she doesn't need you guys to make her into an asshole when she hasn't even done anything wrong. Give her a minute to cook, okay? You don't need to, like, on the attack to this woman. She will be a problem. She will be a problem.
Yeah.
Just give her a second.
But I think what's coming off is like, Emily, first of all, Gina always has her early season, you know, irrational dust up with someone that ends with her storming out of a coffee shop, leaving an almond croissant on the table. But also, it's like she's trying really hard to be like, oh, my God, season 20, we're going to bring it. Watch all the drama. And like, this is like, why are you mad at Carmela? Like, you're whipping up a reason for yourself to get annoyed at her. But it's, I don't think it's landing for the audience. We're like, what the fuck is, why are you so like, why are you so bothered by this?
Yeah, just give her, you know, don't hurry hate. It's like the Beatles.
Yeah, let it happen naturally. Come.
This is Housewives.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, do you think she's trying to buy your love? And Emily changes the subject to the lunch with Vicky and Tamara and Shannon, the makeup lunch. And Shannon's like, oh, well, I just said I wanted peace. Let's move forward. And, you know, here's the starting point. All fresh. None of this included me saying, Tamara, do you remember 2 weeks ago when you killed me emotionally by calling me an alcoholic? How dare you? How dare you?
I just wanted peace. And conveniently, they gave me a piece of flatbread. And I said, well, that works too.
So then Emily's like, wait a second. Tamara's calling, guys. Okay, here comes Tamara. And Shannon's like, wait, are you serious? Like, Shannon, you've been doing this for like 12 years. You know that the producers have people call while people are shooting. So Tamara's like,
hey, guys. I'm glad you guys are all together because I wanted to invite everyone over because, you know what's going on in Puerto Vallarta?
And Shannon's like, tacos and enchiladas, a lovely time for all involved, right?
Well, let's hope they're fixing the potholes in their beach sand because I just fell down there.
Well, I hope they've installed some air filters because last time I checked, the toxins were a bit high down there.
Yeah, everything's really bad in Puerto Vallarta right now. It's like a war zone. And Vicky doesn't even know when she's going to get back to her house. So it's really sad. Someone, you guys come over and make Vicky feel better, but I'm not going to Mexico so she can continue her parades on getting a wall built.
This is my favorite excuse for having a stupid party, which is not like, oh my God, Vicky is stuck in Puerto Vallarta while the cartels are like blowing everything up. Because I remember that happened a few months ago. Obviously, it was just a few months ago. It was like crazy. And it's not like, oh my God, did you hear? Vicky is stuck in Puerto Vallarta. We don't know when she's going to be able to get back. And she's like in extreme danger. It's like, guys, did you hear? Vicky is safe and sound in Cota de Casa. And now if she wants to casually go down to Puerto Vallarta for some leisure time, she can't. I feel so bad for her. Let's have a party to celebrate some elements of the Mexican culture that she won't be able to partake in this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Do you know how many Mexicans she's not going to be able to offend this week? Poor Vicky. Poor Vicky. I'm still wondering if those foot massage guys ever got paid. Fucking Vicky. What do you want me to do? I was stuck in America. They wouldn't let me back here.
What if Vicky's just like El Chapo? She's like low-key El Chapo, and all that cartel activity was really because they were trying to find Vicky.
It's all insurance related.
It's State Farm. State Farm is blowing up.
State Farm and Progressive going at each other. But, you know, we're lucky that this didn't take place when that was happening, because this is Housewives and they will have stupid parties for anything. And if it had happened during that time, they would have been like, oh, my God, let's have a cocktail party for Vicky.
Big cocktail problems and pretty Viada right now. Cocktail party.
You know, when the cartels took over Puerto Vallarta, it was like literally crazy. It was very scary. And like the footage that was coming out of it was absolutely insane. That being said, I'm a little sad that it was not caught on Bravo, because that would have been insane. Could you imagine Vicky and Shannon running through the streets of Puerto Vallarta while a cartel is like literally exploding the streets around them? Like, that's up there. That'd be up there with like Glamis and really any and like Jen Shaw. I feel like we really missed out on something here.
Well, give it time, because, you know, cartels don't think are going anywhere, and Vicky is not going to leave Puerto Vallarta no matter what. Like, she's actually upset that she's like, I'm going back. What's the deal? Cartel violence. Give me a break. I mean, people complained about traffic in California. We still live here. What's the big deal? Cartels. Come on.
Stop being a wimp.
So Emily is – so then Shannon's like basically not – she's being very reserved and away from the phone. So they hang up and Emily's like, I love Shannon and her boundaries. Her boundary is so tight. She won't even get close on the FaceTime.
Well, I could see it from here. I don't need to get any closer. I mean, the meeting was a step in the right direction, but am I going to be filming TikToks with Tamara Judge anytime soon?
No.
This is Shannon's thing that she makes us sit through for like an entire season and a half every time she gets mad at one of the Tres Amigas, which is like,
sure, I enjoyed some beverages with them. Does it mean that we're best friends again? No, I'm keeping them at a healthy distance.
And she does this. She makes this. She reaffirms this point 50 times until finally she just gives in and just is friends with them again. Every single
time. And then Tamara fucks her over again and calls her a stupid alcoholic who can't get a man. I mean, it's like every single time. Already they're fighting again in you know, on socials. And Tamara's like,
hey, oh yeah, well, Tamara went to the Quiet Woman with all these people and then she got mad at them when they didn't give her a free dinner.
Yes.
Oh, please. And then Shannon went on I'm so sorry, John's podcast or radio show, or someone's radio
John
show.
Hill.
Wasn't John? I think it was John Hill. And it wasn't John Hill. It was Jamie Kennedy. And,
yes, it was Jamie Kennedy.
I saw a clip of it and she's like, well,
that was a very bad decision of that restaurant. There were 6 Bravo people there. That is just bad business.
They're not your personal caterer.
Yeah.
You nutcase, pay your bills.
But that being said, I do seem to remember when we went there, what, like 8 years ago, that everything was massively overpriced and very mediocre. So I'm not so mad at the restaurant being shamed into giving a free meal out just because they overcharge everyone who goes in there. So just
yeah, but you know Shannon treats that like her personal
I know she does.
Kitchen.
She's like, I made you guys.
She probably is very much
yes.
Like,
I put you guys on the map and I will take you off the map.
But she did say, by the way, she's like, I think I need to have a break from the restaurant. So guys, just so you know, Shannon will not be at the Quiet Woman anytime soon.
Let's see what restaurant Shannon tries to popularize next to get free meals.
It's called Sweet Green. It's not my fucking salad. Doesn't have the same gravity.
This is not my fucking gordita, Taco Bell.
So Shannon is like, we're going the right direction. Okay. So Gina is like,
Shannon, I knew you were going to swing by, so I figured we could do TikToks because you need to do more.
Yes. Oh, great. Everyone, financial advice from Gina. So Shannon's like,
well, when I was at Heather's, I had an intervention the other day. She goes, Gina,
What?
An intervention? Oh, no, poor Shannon, not again. Well, it was a social media intervention. Oh, God, I was hoping she would have the other kind again. She's really, poor Shannon.
Yeah, I heard you fell in Mexico. Uh-oh. Hey, how many steps did you take before you fell into that 12th one? Am I right?
So Gina's like, yeah, you know, we see there was like this like intervention with Heather, and she's like, you need to do more social media. You're leaving a lot of money on the table. So, Heather Dubrow, social media maven. So Gina is like,
yeah, and that's why you're here, because you need to do more TikToks. You come, welcome. You are now face to face with the face of TikTok, Gina Gershneider.
Well, until I met this group of women, I had zero social media, and I'm just very low tech. I like the telephone at the rotary. That my favorite song was when you would fall asleep and the TV would go. Oh, God, I miss that. God, whatever happened to good old phonographs?
You know what my version of doom scrolling is? It's curling up on a sofa under a throw blanket and reading Out on a Limb by Shirley MacLaine. Now that, that is real social media.
Well, this is going to be great. Don't you worry. We're going to make a TikTok.
And so now their wacky TikTok involves putting pantyhose over their heads, and Emily looks just like Heather Dubrow when she does it. And I don't think of Heather Dubrow as like a cat lady facial surgery type. I think whatever surgery she's had looks great, but when Emily does that with the pantyhose like a bank robber, I was like, that's Heather. I thought in the preview it was Heather.
So apparently this was like a thing that people were doing. I'm looking at online and everyone looks crazy. They all look like they're being attacked in their home. But also, like, why is it hard to blow a candle at it just because you have pantyhose on? Is it just because you can't make the, like, it pushes your lips back or something?
Is that what it is? You put pantyhose over your head and then you try to blow out a candle?
Yeah. And let me tell you something. I will not be doing this anytime soon. Okay? This is not a challenge for Ben.
Yeah. I think the last thing I posted was, like, 2 months ago, whenever we did our cabaret. That's the last thing I was like, come to the cabaret.
That social media challenge is just posting something on social media that's like not like, look at this tartine I made.
Yeah.
So they start doing it, and then Gina's son comes home. It's like, Mom.
She's like, oh, hi. We were just doing something fun with friends.
I can't even imagine growing up and seeing my parents doing something weird like this on their telephones.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine having to see something like that.
Yeah, I'm glad my parents went out. You know, my parents went out and partied. I didn't have to see their stupidity at home. Unless they had parties at the house. And yeah, I got to see some of it then. But it didn't involve pantyhose over the head. So, you know, God bless them. I just feel like this works for richer people. But Gina doing it is kind of like raising Arizona. You know what I mean? It's more dangerous for her.
Arizona.
She doesn't have the privilege to pull this off. Like, they will, she could get shot.
Gina's gonna get, like, I now have visions of Gina being, like, forgotten on the top of a car.
Gina's the baby.
Gina's the baby. So,
all right, let's go to the Art of Fitness gym. Oh, geez. Yeah. All right. Are we gonna do our morning pages while we do some curls?
Okay. It's an art.
I don't get that, but I like it. I don't understand.
Pages are from the Sark book, the Writer's Journal. Didn't Sark write that book? Whoever wrote that, or like The Writer's Journey or whatever. And every day you have to get up and do your morning pages.
I just love that it was like a reference, and then it was like followed up right away with like a little Shannon dismissal of the reference or something. It was just like, it was all so quick and funny to me that I just started giggling.
The morning, the writer's way is what it was.
The writer's way.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so now we have Tamara, and we meet up with Fernanda. Fernanda, the torrid lesbian love affair of Tamara's past that never came to be. She was going to be a friend of. And they even had a photo of her, but she never really quite got there. But she's back.
She was our first lesbian almost housewife.
Yeah.
Fernanda.
She was.
Yeah.
But, you know, here we are, 20th season. We're doing a full-on, you know, reunion tour. So Fernanda is here. And Tamara's like, do you even age it out? Oh, my God. I swear to God. And she's like, yeah, well, I just turned 50 a few weeks ago. So you look amazing, by the way. She's like, I see you've been doing the pantyhose challenge.
What are you talking about?
Oh, that's your face now. Okay, good.
Here, try to blow out this candle. It's going to be hilarious.
I met Fernanda when I was married to Simon, and me and Fernanda would hang out together, and we might have shared a kiss together. Let's see a flashback of me wearing a stupid hat.
I met Fernanda sometimes. I can be this man for the cameras for fun. It's so funny. It's so funny. Everybody loves it. Everybody loves it when I do it. Remember, guys?
Okay. No. Okay, Tamara.
Fernanda's my hall pass. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. Maybe I'll kiss a girl.
So then Heather and Jen arrive, and they're going to do a butt workout of some kind. Tamara's lamenting that Sophie is gone. And
she's like, it's really hard not having anybody in half. Oh, my God.
And Jen's like, yeah, well, I sat down with Grayson, and I said, you were speeding, and that's not good. I want to talk about this. And then he puts his head down, and he starts breathing funny, and he starts rubbing his hair, and things started coming out of it like Ally Sheedy in The Breakfast Club. It was like a snowing scene, but there wasn't a little cabin in front of it for the snow on. I said, you really need to use conditioner, Grayson. Please, please. And then he talked about being bullied, and it just changed everything. It just changed everything. But I would like to thank the bullies. Thank you so much for paying attention to Grayson. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's really tough. Kids react to divorce at different stages of their life. Sophia didn't get bothered till high school.
And Jen's like, oh, yeah, I wish someone would just, like, tell you how to navigate this stuff, you know? And Heather's like, there is no roadmap. And not only is every situation, but every plate is different. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we talking about how to tell people to do your dishes? Oh, we're not.
Listen.
Oh, we're talking about children. Never mind.
In my experience, every Alfredo is different. They might all have the same names. But the other day, one of them said, I'm working with Rake. And I said, how dare you? That's my neighbor. You are not supposed to speak to the neighbors. And he said, Rake, Rake. Oh, I said, get out of here, Alfredo. Bring in Alfredo.
I find that I have to be stern with mop Alfredo, but I have to be kind to window washer Alfredo. It's really an art. There's no roadmap.
Now, I'll tell you who's really problematic. Dust Bunny Alfredo. My turn.
Still me. So Jen's like, I just feel like a failure because this huge thing's been going on with my 17-year-old, and I just didn't even know. Meanwhile, cut to last week, and Ryan was like, he misses his dad. No, I don't think it could be that. I don't think it's that. Did he, like... I don't know. Did one of his favorite shows get canceled? What's going on with him? He misses his dad. I just don't know how I didn't see it.
So now they do a Brazilian booty class. And Fernanda says, okay, let's hit it for a minute. Tamara says,
that sounds like my love life.
Hey, so Heather, how's your back? She's like, fine. Even though it has 10 different knives in the back of it. Ah, that was a joke for social media. Anyway.
Well, Janet. I have noticed a change in your social media, Heather. Because, you know, you do always leave me out of your TikToks. I mean, you make TikToks, I could be in it. But I'm not in your TikToks. That really hits my feelings. Because you don't put me in TikToks and stuff. It's almost like you don't want me to be in your TikToks.
I mean, you said at BravoCon we're going to do TikToks, and we're going to do TikToks, and we did a TikTok, and didn't even post it. It sounds so stupid and petty, because it's like freaking TikTok, but it's just like, knowing that I'm compartmentalized and in a box right now, it's sad.
She is taking the box thing, and she is running with it in the way that only Tamara Judge would.
It's so hard being in a box. Now I know how shoes feel until somebody buys it.
I wrote a letter to Monsieur Maso Academy, and I said, what's it like always being stuck in a box? They didn't write back.
I mean, I do feel like you want to be friends, but you don't want anybody to know about it because you're ashamed of me.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Tamara really does work. You know, she clocks in every single episode.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, is this what we have to work with this season? Heather said I'm going to be in a box, and she won't put me in a TikTok. Great, let's do it.
shows. And that just shows what a pro like Tamara can do with very little compared to Gina trying so hard over there. Like, Tamara's like, okay. She really is like a great improviser. She's like, what's my line? They just give her some prompts and she's like, got it. Okay, I've got to start that.
Well, I don't know how you prove that you like someone. I think I've been really honest, loyal, and a good friend to you. But if you don't feel that way, I can't make you. You know, I'm not a love bomber. Okay? I'm just not a love bomber.
The more time that goes on, I know we talked about it, the more I'm like inside my head about it. It's like my head is my own box now. I'm a box in the box because I do care about you.
Wait a minute, you're inside your head about your friendship with Heather? No, Jen. She's thinking about the international economy.
She's concerned about why McDonald's never put onion rings on the menu. So Heather's like, what's crazy is Tamara's the first one to say how cringe all the TikToks are. But now you want to do them? Okay, you want cringe TikToks? Get ready, sister.
Yeah, I think so, Heather, because you're like such a people pleaser. You just want everyone to like you, unless you're like a waiter, a service person, or a maid, or, you know, anybody with like a real job or something like that. You really care what people think about you, people with money, you know, and I get that about you, Heather.
Yeah, you know what, Heather? I think that it's like, you know, you don't like having problems, but when it comes back your way, it feels like you want to, like, keep your hand out, you know, of the cookie jar a little bit. She's like, I
How
don't
dare you?
Eat cookies.
I have never had my hand on a cookie.
Even though my hands naturally form the perfect cookie pinchers, I never, ever eat cookies.
I may gesture like I've got tongs on the end of my wrists, but I would never go into a cookie jar. How dare you? Still speaking.
My turn. Still me. So Tamara's like,
Heather could definitely turn it on and off around people. And she could, you know, she could like not like someone and be so nice and sweet to their face. They'd be like, I can't stand her. And to me, that's really fake. I think everybody's just getting tired of it.
It's called being polite. It's called, oh, I'm in a party with someone I really can't stand. I will be pleasant to them just to get through the social interaction and save myself the grief of having to have a fight in public.
Yes, and Tamara's pulling a Kyle Richards here where she's like,
everybody's so sick of it. Everybody, all of us. Everybody feels that way, right, everybody? Alfredo.
Well, Tamara, before you go, we are going to make a TikTok. She's like,
no, I don't want to. Just kidding. Can I be a TikTok? Come on. I brought my own stockings.
So Jen's like, oh my God, look at that. She's declining now. Oh my God.
So now we go to Emily's house, and Emily's daughter Annabelle is getting ready for a cheer competition. Cheer is not a word I would say is happening in the scene. And then we
cheer. Yeah, something Emily's avoiding at all costs in her personal life. Cheer hair. She's like, cheer hair is no joke. Cheer hair is really no joke. My niece was in cheer. I feel like it should be illegal what the parents make the kids do for cheer. I mean, the hair, it's huge. It's like huge 80s pageant hair, tons of makeup. Can these kids just be kids? What the hell are you doing to these children? Okay. And the moms are bigger kids. Hair. Bigger hair, the closer to Jesus. You know, it's a terrifying environment. And you cheer moms in your cars right now listening to this who are like, Ronnie, you son of a gun. Say it. You know it's true. You all know it's true. This is nuts and there should be a law against it.
It is nuts. Child. So then we go to Jen's house, and Jen's talking to Grayson, who's going to be working tonight. He apparently worked at In-N-Out, and she's like, oh my God, so I've got to come through the drive-thru. Are you the guy that when I pull up and you're like, hi, welcome to In-N-Out, can I take your order? Is that you? He's like, yeah. She's like, wow, that's so like impressive. She's like starstruck by her son. I can't believe it. I'm related to someone who's in the drive-thru window.
Is this a new job or... Because Jen seems shocked every time she talks to one of her kids about anything going on in their lives. She's like, who are you? Are you upset right now? Wait, you work at In-N-Out? You do?
Is that a door? Do you just work at a door?
So then,
yeah, she's going to really stand up for herself as a parent right now, because she's like, well, you know, that that In-N-Out money is going into your own account, right? Okay, good. Because I'm going to make you pay for a little bit of that traffic. Are you fucking kidding me? No, you will be working at In-N-Out until you pay me five times the amount of that traffic ticket and cover everything going on with your insurance raises and everything else, you little fucker, going 160 or whatever the hell he was going.
Yeah, seriously. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm not about that anymore, sadly. I'm like, okay, sure. So we go to Shannon's house, and she's on the phone with Sophie, her daughter. And Shannon's like, Sophia, what are you drinking? She's like, champagne. Oh, and where are you? Is that your roof? That's a roof? She's like, it's my roof. Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. It's nice that you have a mom who helps you out a little bit with your rent. I guess just good old mom. Just a you sap her for all that she can give you, and then just discard her off to the side. Just leave her in Orange County. That's fine. That's fine.
Thanks, Mom. Mm-hmm. Cheers to that. She just like downs a giant
hang up
glass of wine.
And then we go to Rose Canyon Cantina and Grill, where Vicky
on
and
the
Michael
machine, Rose on the machine. Rose Canyon and Cantina and Grill,
and Vicky and Michael are having a little lunch, and Michael is 40 now, which is wild. And Vicky's, it's crazy that Michael, little
it's
Michael is
literally 40. Crazy.
I thought he's gonna be like 32 now, but no.
Yeah. Yeah. He's crazy. He's old, and he still low key hates Vicky, which is really funny. He's mm-hmm. taking a little bit lighter than usual. He's smiling and laughing more, but he's still clearly like, shut up. It's like, okay, tell me about your life in Spain. Tell me about it. I really want to know. Well, it's supposed to be a tostada. Read you this tostada. This is not right. Okay, go ahead, Michael. I'm listening to you. Do you have insurance? You're going to need it. You tried to break my tooth? Go ahead, Michael.
Speak quietly. The cartels are listening. Okay. So he's like, yeah, I live in Spain now and I like it because everything's open late and you can eat until 2 a.m. and clubs are open late. And Vicky tells us that Michael is now a world traveler and he still works at Coto Insurance. But he does it remotely and... so they have a good relationship, etc. And Vicky, we have like flashbacks of like Michael when he was a kid and everything. And Michael saying, my mom's insane. She's always so stressed out. She's going to have a heart attack pretty soon.
He's like, I like growing up here, but this area is kind of boring. But like, I guess it's good for families and stuff. She's like, it's not boring. It's not boring. Okay, and when are we going to have children? Speaking of families, Michael, you're going to have a child, right? What are you going to do that? He's like, are we going to have children? Are we? Is that what you're saying? Come on, Mom.
Gross. I mean, should we freeze your sperm? Because like when you get older, your sperm goes away. And she's like, I kind of like my selfish life. She's like, I mean, I couldn't even imagine my life without you and Brianna. And he's like, yeah, I haven't seen Brianna in 8 years. And I think I met two of her kids. So yeah, I guess that's not good, which is crazy.
How many she got now anyway?
At least 15.
How many kids can survive on chicken liver alone? Am I right, Mom?
I know. Vicky says.
That's crazy that he hasn't seen her for eight
that's
years.
That's wild. There must be. I'm just going to infer there's an issue with Ryan there.
Yeah.
Because at the root of everything, there's an issue with Ryan. And Vicky says, you know, they talk, you know, Brianna's in Oklahoma and he's in Spain and they talk all the time. They FaceTime. I'm like, no, 8 years. That's something's up. There's an issue. It's Ryan.
Your sister
put his feet on the
kids
sofa.
And you're not going there to like see the kids when they're born and stuff. There's something not good here. And his name is Ryan. There was a someone commented on Instagram about this and he responded, well, you know, she could always come to California too, but she won't come to California. And I did try to go see her a couple of holidays ago and she said it wasn't a good time because of Ryan, because we don't get along. So it's Ryan.
Yeah.
That guy.
It's Ryan. I hope Brianna's okay because I really think Ryan was a very scary character and yeah. I just hope that she's okay in that marriage. You know, he came in hot and heavy. I think probably looking back at it, we're equipped now with more tools to sort of be armchair psychotherapists talking about narcissism. You know, love bombing is a thing now that people know about and are aware of. I wonder if we went back and watched that whole relationship, if we would see some similarities in terms of love bombing, et cetera. Like, would we have jumped on that? I mean, we all knew at the time, like, Ryan was bad news, and we all feel like he was super mean and rude and is hostile. But would we have, like, recognized with that whole eloping, like, it just sort of happened so quickly? Was there, like, love bombing involved? Because he's a piece of shit, let's be honest. So I just hope Brianna's okay.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I remember having a fit when he, at the finale party, when he yelled at that woman's mother.
Lydia's mom, R.I.P.
Yeah, feet on the couch. Like, screamed at her. Like, who does that? Fucking weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we get to, you know, how Vicky's like, I mean, you're 40. Like, then, you know, 40 years from now, you're going to be 80 and I'm going to be dead.
And he's like, well, there's medical advancements. You could be alive. She's like, well, I want my life back. It's like, your life? He's like, yeah, you, Brianna Young, out at Havasu Springs. I want to turn back the clock. I think that was the best time of my life, Michael. And she says that one of her biggest regrets is Don getting divorced from Don because it broke the family apart. And it's just been really, it's been obviously really bad. And she feels guilty and sad and remorseful. And, you know, she says, really, now that she's older, she just wants to be around her kids. That's all she really wants. I actually thought this was a really good scene. It wasn't a dramatic scene, but it was like a very honest scene. And I think it kind of spoke about, like, you know, reaching a point in your life where you're starting to look back and you're starting to reflect on maybe some of the mistakes you've made or the regrets you have. Because everyone likes to be like, I have no regrets, because if I didn't do things this way, I would never be where I am right now. And I think it's like, you're allowed to have regrets in life. You're allowed to say, oh, I wish I had not done that. And I don't know. I thought, as much as I just said at the top of this episode, that Vicky has, like, been a little bit of a dud this season so far, or I implied that, I actually thought this was a good emotional scene.
Oh, just wading down the brooks that we've brooked. You know? Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says, part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She gets a name from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.